Welcome to this week's edition of Community Tides. This is Chris Bricker, and twice a month during the noon hour, my co-host Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation, and I connect with special guests to discuss fresh ideas, new paradigms, and the new normal as we navigate into the future here in Jefferson County. Hi, Siobhan.
Hi, Chris. Great to be with you.
As always. I'd like to introduce a wonderful panel today who've gathered to share good news about affordable housing here in our communities. From Bayside Housing and Services, we have Heather Dudley Nolet, Director of Development, and Mike Moore, Director of Housing and Asset Management. From Habitat for Humanity, we have Jamie Maciejewski, Executive Director for Habitat East Jefferson County. And from Housing Solutions Network, we have Carla Main and Steve Moore, two deeply involved volunteers who join us for our conversation.
Thank you all for being here. I wanted to start with first a picture, of the most recent landscape of housing and giving folks a sense of the continuum of housing that we're going to need in the future as a community. And I wanted to start with you, Jamie. What are the kinds of housing that we'll need to have to make sure that people of all income levels can thrive here in Jefferson County?
We need a lot of different kinds of housing, Siobhan. There's housing missing at multiple rungs of the ladder. If we think about housing like a ladder and look at the rungs that it takes for people to have housing that's affordable to them at whatever income level they are, we need housing from the lowest income to the highest income. The problem right now that we're seeing in Jefferson County is that we are without housing at most of those rungs. And I know you're going to hear a little bit about that more as we talk about it, but as people come to Habitat for Humanity looking for housing, we are just hearing people over and over say that they're losing their housing, their landlord is selling their housing to make more money on it in a different way, that people simply can't even find rentals. If you look in the local newspapers, you just can't even find them week to week. So I think that we're looking at housing in all of the levels as we try to house our community.
Demographically, what's it look like? How far out of balance are we?
With different demographics?
Yes.
Habitat is serving people who are service workers primarily, people who work in the hospitality industry, people who are caregivers, people who are assistants in school, paraeducators, retail workers. And we're finding that they simply can't find housing, that they are completely locked out of the market. However, in our most recent application cycle, we found quite a few people who are a little bit above that income level, people who make what would be considered a reasonable wage in this community, and they can't find housing either. So those are the levels that I'm most familiar with at this point.
Everyone on the show today has really invested heart and soul into this issue, I know, and I want to thank you all for everything that you're doing. And there have been some incredible advancements recently, and that's really what we wanted to talk about today. So I wanted to first, Jamie, again, sorry to pick on you so far, but I wanted to go back to you and just ask if you might tell the listeners about the recent acquisition of the Mason Street property and what that might look like in the future.
We're so excited about that. And Siobhan, it's been a pleasure to work together with you as we've been approached by community members who've had a vision. Beautiful flat parcel of property, 17 plus acres behind the primary school and the library. Habitat got it under contract and did a feasibility study, and Jefferson Community Foundation and Habitat worked together to approach potential donors and saw that this community was willing to support an effort that will produce more than 120 homes that are permanently affordable to people who are service workers and workforce workers who are working in schools and working in business, owning businesses and working in the medical field. And it will be available once the sewer is complete in Port Hadlock. So we do now own that property. We're so excited about it. We will need to wait till the sewer is complete for it to be rezoned. We'll be listening, going to community groups over the next few months and sharing what we know and listening to them and embarking on a master plan for that community over the next year, year and a half.
We look forward to supporting you into the future around that. So while we're in Hadlock, we'll go to Heather from Bayside. You also have some exciting news about a new acquisition in Hadlock, I believe.
Oh, we sure do. And it's so inspiring to hear what other organizations are doing and talking about that. You know, the rungs of a ladder. I love that analogy because that's exactly how we can approach housing as a community. And Bayside serves people coming out of the homeless condition into transitional housing. And we're now working to add some permanent supported housing as well, meaning that would be permanent placement for people who have come out of homelessness and have been supported to transition and move along that ladder. And if we don't have places to put them when they're ready to move into permanent housing, then we are stuck as a community. And so to have this network in the community and to be able to work with Jamie and others in the community to say, okay, there are places for people to go. The exciting thing that Bayside's working on, our next project, which was through a Legislative Community Projects grant that Steve Theringer sponsored, and we won the award to purchase the Hadlock Motel in partnership with the current owner, Carol Woodley. We're going to be honoring her family by naming it Woodley Place after it's purchased. And we'll be able to pretty immediately turnkey that motel into transitional supported housing, doing just what we've already been doing at the old alcohol plant, Bayside Tower, and also the two tiny shelter villages at Peter's and Pat's Place. We'll be able to continue to just expand into more transitional supportive housing. But one of the additionally exciting things about that property is that it's looking like we're going to be able to also use it to pilot some permanent supportive housing there as well. So we'll start off with immediately being able to provide housing for an additional 24 to probably 30 people right off of our waiting list, and hopefully be able to also, with some additional funding, move into some permanent supported housing there as well with case management.
And I know that a lot of community members have stepped forward for both Bayside and Habitat to really support these projects and make them happen. A lot of community engagement and support. And I know that happens to be the mission of the Housing Solutions Network. And you all, I think, have been working, Steve and Carla, on kind of big picture, longer term policy changes, but also on an immediate campaign, Share Our Spaces. Can you tell us some of the recent kind of advances at the Housing Solutions Network?
This is Carla. This is not Steve. Well, Housing Solutions Network is a volunteer organization. We have very limited staffing, so we rely almost exclusively on folks like our KPTZ listeners, who local volunteers. We have retired people, realtors, employers, people like me who are tired of complaining about the horrible housing crisis and decided that we had to do something about it. So we're engaged in a host of different issues that range from building tiny shelters. There are several tiny shelter communities now that are one in Hadlock and one in Port Townsend. We research what other communities are doing to try to find out policy solutions and programs that work. We work with all of our housing providers to help them out with their campaigns and to provide support for them. We provide a huge amount of information on housing options like accessory dwelling units, shared housing. We have a series on how to be a good landlord. And we work to overcome impediments to housing, like offering local investment options for people who want to build ADUs. We research and lobby for policy changes like composting toilets to reduce the cost of building. We're involved in so many different issues. And one of the great things about our organization is you can come to it with any interest that you have and find a place to develop that interest and find some people with who have some common goals.
One of the things I like about Housing Solutions Network is it is not just local. I mean, you have a breadth of experience and knowledge that is spread throughout the country.
That's right. We're making networks all over the country, and we don't have to create all these solutions. We can learn from so many other people who are doing the right thing.
I'd like to add just a little bit to what Carla said about Housing Solutions. This is Steve. I was recruited early on to be on the what is now the steering committee for Housing Solutions. And I was recruited by quite a young member of the community to work with her and another quite young member of the community who then later became the executive director. And we had a young network weaver. He left and we replaced him with another young network weaver. The point that I'm making is most of the programs in our community have people that look like me running them, working in them, all of that sort of thing. Housing Solutions Network is unique, wonderfully unique, I think, in that a lot of young people are getting interested and getting involved and getting active in doing something about this program. I think it's really an important thing. So I'm very excited about seeing that happen as opposed to more people that look like me. The other thing that I just want to touch on, Carla mentioned it, but I want to just highlight it, is that this is such a typically Jefferson Jackson County kind of an organization. People just showed up and said, I want to work and I want to work on this subject or I want to work on that subject. So we have a variety of what are called HATs, which is housing action teams. And they've sort of self-formed and self-managed. We help them interact and relate and that sort of thing. It's an amazing organization that is doing all the things that Carla was talking about, but doing it spontaneously through volunteers and a small staff. I'm proud to be part of it.
It's so impressive to see a younger generation of folks being involved with Housing Solutions Network. Well, with all of you folks, actually.
It's incredible the progress that's being made. In addition to the wonderful projects that you all have just outlined, I know that the city is involved in a project called Evans Vista, and they're kind of trying to figure out what mix of housing will be there right near the first roundabout coming into Port Townsend. I believe there's a project being discussed at Chimicum Corner for farm worker housing. Jamie, I know you have some other projects going on. Yeah, would you like to highlight those for us?
I'd love to. We are completing right now 5 houses in 5 months. This month we wrap it up, which is a huge win. Really exciting to see those families move into those houses. We're also starting this summer our first paired houses. They're duplex style homes, and the city adjusted its code to allow us to be able to build what's called zero lot line homes. Those are starting on Landa Street right across from Kaitai Nature Park and Lagoon, and we'll be doing 6 starting this summer. We're doing them a little bit different model so that contractors will do part of that and volunteers will do part, and it will allow us to keep working on the 4 that we're already building. So we're really working up to increase our level of building with some interesting and unique ways. And we still need volunteers, though. We really want to welcome people back from what we've all been kind of isolated for a couple of years. And we have lots of openings for volunteers to help build those homes.
Siobhan and I were thinking about how there's been a change in the community, reflection, community attitudes, and especially in our governments in supporting these projects. What are some of the most significant changes that all of you have seen?
Well, I'd just like to say that one of the things that was really great in this last election season with our city council was that folks from the Housing Solutions Network and others, I'm sure, really spent a lot of time with the candidates talking about the importance of housing. And we had a candidates forum that was specifically focused on housing. And we've kept in constant touch with those folks ever since they were elected. And housing is now a top priority, not just due to us, but due to their constituents for both the county and the city. And we're seeing much more responsiveness. There's a new planning director that's being hired by the city that we hope will be flexible and optimistic and creative in the way that the city is addressing our housing challenges. After living here for over 20 years, I see a real change in the way that our governments are responding to this issue.
And of course, we know that there's new ordinances also being addressed at both the city and the county level. And we commend those staff and electeds that have been working on that policy. And that was really driven also by the Housing Action, Tiny Home Housing Action Team. And Vicky Sontag has been a huge a volunteer driver of that effort that we've been involved in as well. And so we're really grateful because as much great news as we know is happening and great projects, this is a crisis level situation that we must act quickly on to solve. So we're grateful for our partners at the city and the county to help us set the policy in place that will make it possible for us to build and grow housing.
And we have somebody that just joined us. You want to introduce Heather?
Absolutely. This is Mike Moore. He is our new Director of Housing and Asset Management at Bayside Housing and Services. And it is excellent timing because we've taken on both the Hadlock Motel project and also a number of other housing projects that are in our pipeline, including hoping to purchase and build at the Pat's Place site. So Mike is on board to really help us strategize and plan for those. And he also brings a mental health background. So he really understands deeply the case management and support services work that we do with our program participants. So welcome, Mike.
Thank you, Heather.
Welcome, Mike. What are you going to bring to the table in the next, say, year or two, and what should we look out for?
You know, I was talking to Heather about this earlier as far as breaking it up into different sections as far as like your personal commitment to your community that you live in. I've got 2 kids that live in Hadlock and we're trying to establish it and we're new to this area. So just getting comfortable with the community and what that looks like as far as progressing to meet some of these immediate needs within the community. And then there's my professional role and usually those are pretty in line. So I'm looking around, communicating with people, getting all on the same page, and then action items for what we have going on right now. So getting heads in beds is, you know, getting people off the street that they have a place to rest, to let down some of their stresses, to work through some of their PTSD or their SUD or whatever acronym that, you know, we give them, that we can help them with that. If they want that help, that we have open doors and open arms for them. So moving along within that. And then it's that communication going both ways between the collective organizations that are already established in Jefferson County or Calhoun County or Kitsap County, working with the state, working with the federal government to allocate those resources collectively and being like, okay, this is what we've got. This is what we need. This is what we're missing in our community, and creating that continuum of care that's happening, or, you know, starting to establish itself here through all of the different organizations that are popping up. From HSN and doing some of that ADU work and, you know, sharing spaces, to Habitat doing amazing projects and housing and looking at 130 new units for Port Hedlock area, to us getting people off the streets and doing transitional and working more towards that supportive permanent housing piece. And then, as Heather was saying it too, working with the county and the city officials and the state officials, that if we have old codes that don't align with our missions and the missions of our collective community to make it a better, healthier place for everybody to be living, then we work with them on that and what that looks like. And sometimes that can be a little grueling as far as the time it takes to work through those processes and laws and rezone and recode, but that's a needed piece to it. So hoping to have a collective effort on that with everybody, because I know if one person's just doing it, it's just a lot of work and it drains us. And we also need to be, you know, within the organizations that we're working at, to be able to communicate with each other and build each other up.
Before the program started, we were talking about the interconnected part of all of us, not only the organizations that we're talking about now, but also the community in general, and how the community sort of weaves itself in and out of support for these things. There's an event coming up on June 30th, by the way, called the Under the Tent Conversation.
We're really excited about this opportunity to bring together over 12 agencies and groups that are dealing with housing issues in our community. Have a short time when anybody and everybody can hear from them about what they do, but also how you as a radio listener or as a community member can help. And then we'll break off into groups and you can go to whatever organization you want to, or however many you want to, and say, what could I do? If I have this interest, if I have this talent, if I have this skill, what can I do to help? It should be a really great opportunity for us to network and learn from one another and generate a lot more community interest. We're seeing this summer as being a time when we can meet and greet one another outdoors in a safe environment, where a lot of people who have not been engaged so far will have the opportunity to do so and to find out a lot more information about how they can help out. We're also getting our brochures out for Save Our Spaces campaign, which is Housing Solutions Network's outreach effort to get information into everybody's hands about what we're working on, where our website is, and how you can access a lot more information. So be prepared for that.
I'm so glad that you just invited everyone to that, because I just wanted this community to know that everything that you all are doing, all of our listeners, everyone who's engaged in the question of housing in our community, it's working. We are making progress. And just keep going, because what you're doing matters. And we want everyone to know that concrete things are happening out in our community. It's not an issue that is insurmountable. With leaders and volunteers like the ones you've heard today on this show, we can make real progress together. So please come to that event. Go to housingsolutionsnetwork.org to learn more about how you can engage with all of these wonderful efforts.
And then if people need more information from Bayside Housing and Services, you can go to their website. Habitat for Humanity, of course, pretty well-known outfit. So we want to thank you all for joining us in conversation today about the tangible recent advances in affordable housing. We want this community to know that their investments are making a difference. So from Bayside Housing and Services, Heather Dudley Nolet, Director of Development, and Mike Moore, Director of Housing and Asset Management. From Habitat for Humanity, East Jefferson County, Jamie Maciejewski, Executive Director. And from Housing Solutions Network, Carla Main and Steve Moore. Thank you for joining us today on Community Tides.
Thanks for having us.
This is Chris Bricker.
And Siobhan Canty.
Saying see you next time on Community Tides.